Thank you, ma'am, for playing that piano. You haven't heard anything this week any better than that, I'll guarantee it. All right. Father, in thy holy name, Lord, as we open the book, we believe the book. We believe it, Heavenly Father. It's your word. It's inspired. It's God-breathed, theos neustos, given to us directly from your breath. Now, Father, we pray, open our hearts this morning to receive it. Give us wisdom, Lord. You say if we lack wisdom, let us ask of God. Father, we're asking for wisdom. Lord, our minds, our eyes are constantly being bombarded with the wisdom of this world, with the perception of men. But our Father, today, open our hearts that we may receive the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you'll turn to the book of Revelation, we'll start a new study today, chapter 13. The 13th chapter of the Apocalypse. Revelation 13 and verse 18. Is a multiple of what? Exactly. It's 3 times 6. That's quite a coincidental thing, too, because the New Testament was not written in chapter and verse. The chapter and verse markings were added later, but it's amazing how they add up. It's quite a remarkable thing and how they begin to show us things. Quite remarkable. Revelation chapter number 13, verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Look at verse 1 of chapter 13. I stood upon the sand of the sea, I, John, speaking first person witness directly what he's talking about. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now he gives a description of the beast. The beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. Go back to chapter number 12 and verse 3. Who's the dragon? There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. The last place you would expect war. War in heaven. Michael, who is mentioned in the book of Daniel, who stands for the people of Israel. He is an archangel. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, the great red dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So the dragon is identified. There can be no doubt in your mind whatsoever, the dragon is the devil, Satan. I do not believe that the devil is simply a malevolent force. I believe the devil is a being, a spirit being with enormous power. The Bible said he called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And if you'll notice, the dragon was wroth, verse 17, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The woman in chapter number 12 of the book of Revelation, I believe, is Israel. And I believe that that is soon when Satan will focus his attention directly against Israel. And the reason he does that is because the tribulation period, which is soon to come, is about Israel. It is called the time of Jacob's trouble. So the Antichrist is going to be constantly thinking about Israel and about dealing with Israel. Now in Revelation chapter number 13, do you believe numbers have any significance? I believe numbers have significance. I certainly do. The sixth day of the week, when it falls on the 13th day of the month, all right? The sixth day of the week falling on the 13th day of the month. What day is that? That is Friday the 13th. And that is a day that is considered a day of, depending on who you're talking to, bad luck or what have you. You as a Christian, you know that luck has nothing to do with anything in your relationship with the Lord. But you also know that numbers have meaning. And in Revelation chapter number 13, verse 1, the beast shows up. The beast is not the devil. The beast is the devil incarnate. The beast is the devil incarnate in human flesh. In plain words, he is a mirror of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the counterpart of the Son of God. He is the direct opposite of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is called right now as Satan, the God of this world. The God of this world is the devil. He's not the Lord God. But here in Revelation chapter number 13, verse 18, God gives you a number. And he says, this number is for those who have wisdom. If you have wisdom, then this number is going to alert you. Every time you see it show up, you may begin to put the incidences together, put the facts together, and see what it produces. Revelation chapter number, the 13th chapter of Revelation, 13 is a bad number. The 18th verse, which is a multiple of 6, 3 times 6 is 18, we have the Antichrist number showing up. Now, you're going to see a lot of it, and we used to see a lot of it 20, 30 years ago in acid rock and all of that. The rock bands, they all like the number 666, put it on their albums. A lot of people toy with a number of 666, play with it, and that's all it is. It's just playtime. They don't realize that they're playing with something that is very powerful. Very powerful. Very powerful. God does not name the days of the week, but he numbers them. The seventh day of the week, the seventh day of the week is which day? It's Saturday. So the first day of the week, he arose from the dead. And what day is that? That is Sunday. Saturday is the Jewish Sabbath. Friday is the Muslim Sabbath, or their day of worship. And Sunday has been has by tradition been the Christian Sabbath. And of course, there is no such thing, but I mean by tradition, they call it the Christian Sabbath. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, these 3 days running in a row right here, are days set aside as sacred days by the three faiths that recognize that there is but one God. Islam, their tenet is this: there is one God, and his prophet is Allah. The Jew says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord, Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And we believe in one God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, according to Colossians chapter number 2, makes up the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So we believe in one God manifested as three manifestations, or you may call them persons of the Godhead. So in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, we come down to a counterfeit. We come down to a mirror of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why would he want to mirror the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the identity of the Son of God has gone through such a drastic change since 1889 that those people who lived in the 1800s wouldn't even recognize who you're talking about today when you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. The average church member today who frequents a church week after week after week has fixed in his mind an image or an idea of the Son of God, for the most part, that is contrary to the Scriptures. Most Christians do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator. They don't believe that. They don't even have a concept of that. They've never even thought about that. But the Bible says that all things were made by Him, not only by Him, but for Him. So the Lord Jesus Christ is definitely the Creator. And who is He? He is God Almighty, incarnate in flesh. Incarnate means that God became flesh. And one of the most profound scriptures in the New Testament that spells that out is 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, greatest mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. All the new Bibles change that. Ask yourself this one question: why would you change that? And of course you go back to the Greek text that it's based upon, and you'll find out that their Greek text does not agree with the majority text, or the Textus Receptus. So the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation is a chapter that deals exclusively with the Antichrist. Now, why do we call him the Antichrist? This is important. The word anti, as we use it today in the English language, as the English language, as you know, and especially if you teachers, if we have any teachers in here, you know this. You know that the language is constantly devolving, not evolving. It's devolving in the sense that the words do not have their full meaning that they had once had, that people understand them in a different sense today than they had, say, no more than 200 or 300 years ago. The word Antichrist, as it is presented in the Scripture, does not necessarily mean that he is against Christ. What it means is that he is set in contradistinction to Christ. See what I mean? He is over against him. In plainer words, here's Christ, here's Antichrist, compare the two. That's the idea. Now, obviously, his spirit is against the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. There's no question about that. But as it is used in the Word of God, the Antichrist is one to be compared with Christ. That's the idea. Compare him with the true Christ. The true Christ. So he has a number. His number is 666. We should be constantly on the lookout for that number, 666. Now, what I'm going to give you this morning in the beginning of this is going to be controversial, no question about it. And I'm going to say right now when I give you this that I am not saying anybody is the Antichrist, but I want you to listen to what I have to say. It's very important, and I hope you do. On November the 5th, the day after that Barack Hussein Obama was elected by 63 million votes, over 55 million votes against his opponent, the next day in the state of Illinois, November the 5th, they had a state lottery. And the two winning numbers in the state lottery the next day, November the 5th, 2008, the first winning number was 666. The next winning number, that two winning numbers, the next winning number was 7779. Now, any of you that study the Word of God, you know that what the number 666 is. You also know that the number 7 is the number of divine completion. You'll also know, if you study the Bible, the number 9 is the number of judgment. So it appears that a statement was being made that boggles the mind, that the man that was just elected from the state of Illinois as a senator, as the president of the United States, the next day in his home state, the number 666 shows up, and then the next number is 7779. In plainer words, divine perfection in judgment. And the number is 666. The numbers added together, 666, 7779, make how many numbers? How many? 7. It makes 7 numbers, which in itself is completion. The odds of this happening are 1 in 3,650,000,000. That's the odds of this happening. 1 in 3,650,000,000. 7 numbers, a series of 666, then 7779. I went through the checkout lane a few weeks back and my bill was $6.66. I said, no, it's not. No way. Either I give you something back or I buy something else. She said, I don't blame you. And I did. I bought something. I don't know what it was. I'm not paying. No way, Jose. If I have anything to do with it, it's not going to be. 666. I don't want that number on me. I don't want anything to do with it. Well, I want no connection with it. So the number 666 shows up. Now, am I saying that Mr. Obama is the Antichrist? No, I'm not saying that at all. I am saying that the wisdom of God and the mind of God is beginning to mark people and bring that number to the forefront and let you know that that number is not dead. In 9/11/2001, something happened in New York City, never happened in this country before. Over 3,000 people died at the hands of Muslim murderers. All right? You call them terrorists, you call them, what's the other number, the word, the euphemism that the press likes to use? Insurgent, that's the word. Yeah, insurgent. They like to use insurgent. Well, they're terrorists. I mean, you can call yourself whatever you want to. When you kill a man, you're a killer. Well, they killed 3,000 people, over 3,000 people in New York City. They died. I watched it. I viewed the second building as it was, as they hit it. I watched it live. Could not believe what I was watching. And the first time in my life, my mind rejected what I saw. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. It took me a few moments to receive what my mind had seen. It was that profound. I said to myself, this is the World Trade Tower. This can't be happening. Yet it was happening, and it did happen. A lot of people died. A lot of things have happened since then related to 9/11. But the people who did this were Muslims, and they were screaming Allah Akbar as they flew those jets into the World Trade Towers, just like that Muslim murderer did down there at Fort Hood a few days ago when he shot to death innocent soldier standing in line unarmed, and the cowardly act of shooting them and while they're standing in line. He screamed, he got up, jumped up on top of a table and screamed, Allah, that's the Muslim word for God, Akbar, which means God is great. And so he shot these people to death. He left, we thought he was dead, they said he was dead, but he's alive. And they entered his room the other day and arraigned him, charged him with the murders of these people. But in any event, Saddam Hussein was immediately put to the forefront, and the United States invaded a Muslim country controlled by a Muslim despot by the name of Saddam Hussein. 7 years later, they elect a man to the highest office in the United States whose middle name is Hussein. That's quite a remarkable thing. If Mr. Obama had run the year after the World Trade Towers, and his name Hussein, I think that would have kept him from the White House. Mr. Obama is touted as a world leader, a global leader. The Europeans have said, we have our man. He's a European leader, a world leader. I don't know if you're conscious of this or not, but no sooner was he elected the President of the United States and he began to move out into the world and present himself, and without question, as the world leader. He met with Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, a few weeks back. And even the press, even the liberal press, commented on the fact that when some leader of a country does not agree with Mr. Obama's tactics, they photographed him giving him the evil eye. In other words, Mr. Obama gave Benjamin Netanyahu the evil eye. And the press called it the evil eye because Benjamin Netanyahu, as far as he can go, is a friend of the United States, but he's the Prime Minister of Israel. You understand what I mean by that? His friendship with the United States stands. He's a friend of this nation, but his first responsibility is as the Prime Minister of Israel. In other words, what's good for Israel may not necessarily be good all the time for the United States in its diplomatic relationships with other countries and so forth and so on. And I respect him for that, don't you? If you elect somebody to the highest office in this nation, don't you think that he should take this nation and how it would benefit from policies and what have you first over anybody? He represents the United States of America. Well, if you've been observing what's going on, you should be aware of the fact that the President of the United States of America has gone out into the world and has begun to fashion America's image to the world. And his, and the point in all of this is that he is, he's never said it, but I wonder if he styles himself as a world leader, a global leader, that the President of the United States is just a stepping stone to become the leader of the world. Once again, I'm not saying that Mr. Obama is the Antichrist. I am saying that too many things are falling in place. Too many times the number 666 is popping up. You should be watching carefully for what's coming next. You should be aware. You should not live with your head like an ostrich buried in the sand. We are not children of the night, but we are children of the day. You live in the end times. You live in the end of the end times. You live in the 11th hour, the 59th minute. You live right before the strike and the coming of the Lord. November the 11th, 2008, the Secret Service gave the President his code name. The Secret Service does this to communicate with each other. The Secret Service communicates. Obviously, their job is to protect the President, his wife, his children, and leaders of Congress and what have you under various circumstances. Their number one responsibility, I'm sure, is the President. So the Secret Service has a code name. And when they say that code name, there's no question among any of them who they're talking about. His code name is Renegade. That's what they called him. The Secret Service gave him the code name Renegade. A renegade is a lawless individual who rebels against authority and who goes his own way. I wonder why the Secret Service called him that. He didn't call himself that, but they gave him a code name. The Renegade. Now, do you know what gematria is? Gematria. Yeah, I've gone through this in here time and time again. Gematria. It's where a letter has a numerical value. Hebrew, 3,000 years ago, the Hebrews gave certain letters in the Hebrew alphabet numerical values. Aleph, for example, the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, they gave one. Beth, Gimel, Daleth, Hey, Wow, and on down the line. Each one of these Hebrew letters has a it has a numerical value. There's a system attached to that. Sometimes the numerical value of Aleph would be one, and sometimes it might be six or something of that nature. But we're going to follow the simple order of it as the numerical value attached to it, let's say, would be one, the gematria. In plainer words, a person's name would add up to a numerical value or a multiple of something. That's gematria. And so the Hebrew had done that because, I mean, have you ever, I never have, I guess they may exist now, but have you ever seen a Hebrew number? These numbers that you have, that you use, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, so forth, you know where these numbers came from? They're what? Somebody said it a moment ago. Well, Rome used letters. X, I, V. See, that's the Roman numerals, we call them. They had numerals. They certainly did. But the numbers that you use, they're Arabic. Exactly. They're Arabic. As a matter of fact, when you go back in history and begin to study the thing, you'll find out that the Arabs were the ones who you might even say before their time, were great pioneers in astronomy, in the reading of the stars and all. So, well, let me tell you something, folks. The Arabs are not stupid people. Whoever planned 9/11 knew what they were doing. When they killed all those people up there, folks, they just about got the Pentagon. And I think they had the White House in their sights too. You know, they just about pulled it off completely. So, the Muslim religion is not anything to be sneered at. It's to say, well, these are just a bunch of crazy, wild fanatics. They got brains. They've got brains. They're not stupid people. So gematria is the numerical value attached to letters. Now, Mr. Obama's name, his full name, is Barack Hussein Obama. That is as we understand him now. As if you know he also had an Indonesian father, and his name under his Indonesian father is Barry Soetero. But we'll go by Barack Hussein Obama for the time being. He has a gematria value of 501. That's the value of his name. It's the same value in Hebrew as judgment and end of days. But now his name, Barak, that's Arabic. But the Arabic names are very close, many times, to Hebrew names. How many has ever heard of Baruch in the Hebrew Bible? He was a scribe in the book of Jeremiah. The word Baruch in Hebrew means blessed. Baruch and Barak are very close together. Why are they close together? Because the Arabic language and the Hebrew language are what's called Semitic languages. They go back to the same language group thousands of years before the Lord Jesus Christ, back to a common origin. So Arabic, as it's spoken today, and Hebrew both have a common source. They came from the same place. It's like German and English. There's many names in German, just like English names, English words, because they have a common source. So Barak in Hebrew, or Barak in Arabic, means blessed. All right. Hussein in Arabic means handsome. Saddam Hussein. The word Saddam in Arabic is one who hits, one who is hard, one who is bad, the bad handsome one. All right. So Barak Hussein means blessed, handsome. Now Obama is not an Arabic word. Obama is an African word. So what you're going to have to do, if you're going to find a numerical value for that, is to transfer these over into English. In other words, take the word blessed in English, the word handsome in English, and the word leaning, because that's what Obama means in African. I'm not sure of what language, because the African, I mean, all you have to do is look up and you'll find that the African language is at least 30, 40, 50 different dialects and languages in Africa. But you'll find that the word Obama means leaning. So what we have is blessed, handsome, and leaning. And of course, now this is the kind of thing right here where you can either take it or reject it, because, and the reason I say this is because you're going into English. And I'm not so sure that I jump on the English bandwagon by applying numbers to English letters, okay? But I won't say it's bad either. I'll just say this is for your own edification. If you add up the numerical value of blessed, it is 2 plus 30 plus 5 plus 100 plus 100 plus 5 plus 4 equals 246. If you add up the numerical value of handsome in English, if you give the English letters numerical values like 1 for A, so forth and so on, you have 8 plus 1 plus 50 plus 4 plus 100 plus 60 plus 40 plus 5 equals 268. And then doing the same thing with leaning, you have 30 plus 5 plus 1 plus 50 plus 9 plus 50 plus 70, which gives you 152. So if you do the math, 246 plus 268 plus 152, do you know what you come out with? 666. Once again, though, this is all based on giving numerical value to English letters. A1, so forth and so on. But it is quite a remarkable coincidence, don't you think? He has 18 letters in his name. you've already been into some of that, haven't you? He has 18 letters, 3 times 6. Now, once again, let me say that it could be the Almighty simply saying, wake up, people, wake up. Look how I can mark a man. Look how I can mark him. See, that's the idea. Yes, sir. I'll give you an interesting website if you'd like to do a little research on your own. It's loaded with information. If you ever get on the internet, it's Five Doves. Five Doves. That's the name of the website. Just jot that down, get on there and nose around a little bit. You'd be surprised at, and they have links to links. First thing you know, you're so deep into links that you forgot where you started. But there's an amazing amount of material available. It's almost like the Almighty is saying, let me show you how I can bring a man from obscurity, mark him, make him a world leader, and I can do all of this in no time. And once again, if I said that Mr. Obama was the Antichrist, and I've tied myself to this, and if he's not, then what does that make of the faith of Christ? You can make a fool out of yourself real easily. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
And that struck me, as a point of interest, going, well, why? Because when we had elections before, they never had cameras to other countries. Like, why would other countries really care? Because they don't need to vote anyway. Mm-hmm. But on this particular election, mm-hmm. they had cameras in every other country.
And when you say they, you're not talking about just NBC.
Right.
Or CBS. Or ABC. You're talking about all the networks. All the networks were over there with their cameras. And so it says to you, you ask yourself this question, why was it that all of these networks felt like it was necessary to go over here and see how the French reacted, to the election of the president? That's a very important thing. Very important. Very important. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. The world's most wanted. Everything now is geared toward a global government and a global political.
Something else about 9/11. The Islamic flag with the crescent moon and the stars. On 9/11, on that particular day, the moon was in that formation with the planet of the Venus. And that means good luck. It was brought into the Islamic world in 1400.
On November the 4th, 2008. On election day? What?
9/11.
Oh, 9/11. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Okay. Now, I've got one more here. And how many has ever heard of equidistant letter sequences? Or Bible codes, as it's commonly called. All right, Bible codes. And this came out about 10, 12 years ago in its infancy, and it's grown a lot since then. There's a lot of discussion on both sides of the camp. There's a lot of people who believe it's just a bunch of foolishness. If there's nothing to it, you can do the same thing with a work of Shakespeare, or you could do it with War and Peace, or anything. You could subject it to a computer program and find all kinds of anomalies or things in there that don't match or what have you, or names that show up. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can. I'll tell you that right off the bat. You can. But the thing is, the Holy Bible is not War and Peace. The Holy Bible is not Shakespeare. All right? And I have a book in my office written by Michael Drosden. He's a Jew. And being a Jew, he has a respect for the Tanakh, or for the Old Testament. He has respect for it, for the 39 books. He believes that it's inspired. All right, so he subjected it to this program that they had in the day and found a lot of names in there. He found an awful lot of names, dates, and events, assassinations, and what have you. They showed up. Well, now, since Mr. Obama has been elected as the president, they put his name into some of the latest programs they have. Apparently, they're tweaking these programs, and they're getting more powerful and what have you year by year. They put his name in. Obama. They typed his name into the program and said, find this name. Find a sequence in this name. And the sequences show up like this. For example, the letters run like this on a line. We all know that. Like, for example, this Bible right here. We know these letters run straight across on a line. Now, in English, we write from left to right. In Hebrew, they write from right to left. There's a difference in the order, in other words, the direction they're going. But that's really not an issue. When it comes to this page right here in front of you, if you're going to read this, you're going to read it one way. You're going to read it across the line. That's the way you read it. You don't read the word on one line, jump down and read the word on the next line, go down below it and read the next word, and go down below that and read the next word. You don't make any sense. You know, you don't read like that. It's not written like that. But a computer can find a name that goes up like this, or goes at an angle like this, or goes at an angle like that, or straight across. And the reason I say that is because you might say, well, now that's just, they're just putting stuff together. Not really. Not really, because it's remarkable when you find a page, for example, like a page in Isaiah, that has names and dates, and they're all connected on that same page. That's too big of a coincidence. Too much of a coincidence. So they typed the name of Obama in. As far as I know, they've only found it one time. And they found it like this. And the computer did it. They say it was such a thing to where it took a computer, a powerful computer, to find something like that. His name goes up like this, up and down in the letter sequence. And you can see it on the web if you like to type that in. Look at it. You can see the text as it goes. And by the way, this is interesting too. It's in a King James Bible. And this is done by people, I'm sure, who probably don't have a lot to, you know, who are not King James people. But it's remarkable how that it's in a King James Bible. Guess where they found it? Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. Go over there and look at it. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it really? After a while, it's no longer coincidental. After a while, there's a divine mind in it. And it still doesn't say he's the Antichrist. But it could be that he is a prototype. You know, what is a prototype? A prototype is one that goes before the real thing. That's a prototype. It's kind of, let's take it one step further. If he were, and I pray he's not, I've said to you that before, but if he were, what would that make you think about the United States of America? That the Antichrist arose from your ranks. Would that call the church to repentance? Now here's another thing. What if he is? I don't get stirred much by a lot of things. I really don't. But this one grabbed me when I went through this one. I really don't. I've seen too much, been through too much. I don't get excited about very much at all. But something began to settle down on me. And I'll tell you what it is. It's a warning. God's warning us. Now, I don't know. I'm not saying that this man is the Antichrist. I'm not saying that at all. But he's warning us. He's telling us how easily and how quickly the Antichrist can show up. Yes, now, here's the thing. Ask yourself this question. What if he is? Do you know how much time you've got left on this earth? What if he is? You remember I've told you time and again from 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 that the day of Christ, not the day of the Lord, the day of Christ, Christos, not Kyrios, the day of Christ, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, the day of Christ shall not come except there come a falling away first. How many believe a falling away is taking place? Amen. And that man of sin be revealed. Who's the man of sin? The Antichrist. Revealed to who? Not the world. To you. Amen. He made a connection there between the NIV, taking Roman numerals. In other words, the NIV represents Roman numerals. And it and it's... So the N's the 14th letter in the English alphabet, because I couldn't make your connection. I know the IV in Hebrew, I mean in Latin, is 4. Okay. So what you've done is take the 14th letter of the English alphabet and combine it with Roman numerals, and you come up with 18. Right. Okay, now what you've done here, this is a good example. This is a prime example of taking different elements and putting them all together to create something. And there may be some truth in that. There may be. All right. But what I gave you about that equidistant letter sequences was directly out of the text of the King James Bible. And Obama shows up, not in John 17, but in Revelation 13. So what does that tell you? What is that? What do you get from that? We've got about 3 minutes left in here. Just tell me what you think. What does that say to you? Well, it says to you, then you really believe the Lord's coming back soon, all right? How many of you believe that all of this is just a bunch of fluff and that there's no real connection? Because you perfectly, you have every right to say, well, now you know, preacher, I don't know about all that stuff. That's fine. You don't have to believe that. You're not going to make me mad. The fact is, I've rejected an awful lot of stuff down through the years. But when I'm confronted with some things, I have a hard time rejecting them. Yes, sir. Yes, he was.
He was born on 777. And exactly 777 years later, the flood. So there's something to all this. Yeah. It just continually. I remember when we went through the entire Bible, and it's consistent.
A Russian scholar named Ivan Panin, long before a computer was ever invented, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, did a thing on Bible numbers, numerology, and codes. He did the work himself. He did it just reading the text. Ivan Panin. I've got his work in my office. A Russian scholar, a Russian Bible believer, a Russian Christian, back in the time of Tsar Nicholas and all that. And he discovered a lot of these things that we're talking about today, and he did it the hard way without the aid of a computer. A long time ago, you know? A long time ago. A long time ago. Yes, sir.
I don't know if you mentioned this or not, but I've seen a thing where they take the rock, Hussein, Allah, and find the Hebrew equivalents.
Right. Baruch is the equivalent of Barak.
And when they do that, it actually, the meaning is lightning falling from heaven.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing with Hebrew words. Hebrew words can have sometimes two, sometimes three, sometimes four different meanings. And it's all dependent upon the context that the Hebrew word's in. And that lightning was brought out as one of the possible meanings. Yes, it was. Which would connect it with the devil as lightning falls from heaven. All right. Yes, ma'am. They're blind like you wouldn't believe. If you want to get the church, if you want to get the truth today, the church is the last place you want to go to. Well, all right. Well, we've run out of time. Now, we're going to pick this up again next week. Yes, sir. There's only one who can do things like that.
Amen.
There's only one. There's only one mind that great. Amen. All right. Yes, sir.
Real quick, would you say that most Christians, instead of voting convictions, they vote particular circumstances to try to better the economy?
Amen.
Absolutely. And therefore...
That's what the Bible says. They vote their belly.
Their treasures are laid up here rather than there.
Their God is their belly. All right, Brother Rouye dismisses, please.